Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 34, Anatomy Class.
Apologies for the somewhat archaic...
No need to worry, I understand. Some things you just can't trust to computers. It's like I always say about those robotic surgery machines. It's just not the same. If I'm going to be operating on a man's pancreas, I want to feel that pancreas. Fiddling with a joystick just won't cut it, as it were.
I didn't think you still performed surgery.
I keep up with the developments. And I remember the feel of a pancreas.
Well, quite. Now, if you'd be so good as to...
You know you have an infestation, don't you?
Excuse me? I'm not sure
Yes, little grey maggot things. I saw a few on the way in. Don't recognise the species, but I'd say you need to get the exterminators in here. Gas the little blighters.
You saw them? You weren't bitten, were you?
Bitten? They're worms. Still, I'll admit I don't like the look of them. I reckon the sooner you get someone in to kill them dead, the better.
We've tried, believe me. Now, shall we?
Oh, certainly. Where do you want me to start? The bones? Blood? The fruit?
Right from the beginning. One second. Statement of Dr. Lionel Elliott regarding a series of events that took place during his class...
Introduction to Human Anatomy and Physiology.
At King's College, London, in early 2016. Statement recorded direct from subject, 12th July, 2016. Statement begins.
Now?
Yes, just start from the beginning.
Right. Well, I shouldn't even have been teaching the class, really. As far as I knew, I wasn't going to be needed for any teaching on the biomedical engineering course this year. I can't say I was particularly upset. The human anatomy module is where a lot of the engineers discover just how messy the human body is. And while the human heart is a phenomenal piece of machinery in terms of design and function, most of the students would be more comfortable holding a transistor. Not to put too fine a point on it, I get tired of squeamish students, and was glad that I could avoid it this year. You can perhaps imagine, then, that I was not best pleased when Elena Bauer, the admissions officer, emailed me last November to say that there had been a mistake, and I was needed to take a spillover class. Apparently the system had accepted more students for the course than there were places, and they were trying to organise an additional class for the 7 who were unassigned. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. Anatomy class wasn't until the second term, so surely this mistake should have emerged earlier. But Elena kept saying she didn't know, she just had 7 students who needed tutorials. I won't pretend I took the news gracefully. I have a lot of research due shortly and, well, you know academia. Never enough hours in the day. Still, I was the only staff member both qualified to teach the class and technically free when it had to be scheduled. So I agreed, although that really makes it sound like I had more of a choice than I actually did. I didn't meet the students until the module started this January. I wasn't responsible for any of the lectures, so the first time I saw them was in our initial class tutorial. They all sat there, all 7, staring at me, and I felt oddly uncomfortable. There was nothing wrong with them, of course. Nothing strange to see or to look at. Just, well, this is going to sound stupid to say out loud, but I don't remember what they looked like. Any of them. I remember that each wore blue jeans and a white shirt. Though they were all different makes and styles, I think one of the girls had a skirt instead. I must have noticed that they were wearing the same outfits, but it didn't strike me as odd. They all just looked so normal, unremarkable. I remember their names, though, from the register. They stuck with me, maybe because they were such an international group. There was Erika Musterman, Jan Novak, Pyotr and Pavel Petrov, who I think were brothers? Maybe twins. John Doe, Falana Al-Falani and Juan Perez. I greeted them when I entered the room and was met with silence. Not a malicious or angry silence, just silence. I've never been self-conscious when teaching, but walking to my seat with those 14 eyes just watching me, it made me ever so slightly uncomfortable. I got the oddest feeling that they were judging my walk. The class began, and we started going over some of the basics of anatomy and how the body works. They started to talk then, and some of my unease left me. I don't remember exactly what was said. After doing it long enough, most tutorials just kind of blur together a bit. But I recall being struck by just how basic some of their questions were. The composition of blood, where in the body the various organs sat, the sort of thing that anyone who's done a science GCSE should know. I was almost tempted to ask where they went to school. At the time, I didn't question the fact that they must have all gone to the same school. Aside from that, it was mostly normal, except about halfway through the tutorial, we discussed the lungs and respiration, inhalation, alveoli, etc. As I said, basic stuff. But I paused afterwards just to have a think about where to go next, and I heard the sound of them breathing. That's not abnormal, I know, but it seemed to fill the silence so suddenly, and all at once. I could have sworn that I didn't actually hear it before that moment. Like they'd only just then started breathing. which is absurd, obviously. I was probably just listening out for it because we'd been discussing the lungs. Even so, it was disconcerting, and I don't mind telling you that I breathed quite a sigh of relief myself when the tutorial was over and I could get out of there. Now, I consider myself a conscientious worker, and in all my years at King's, I can count on one hand the number of times I've called in sick. But when the time came for the next tutorial with this class, I had to stay home with a migraine. It wasn't a lie, exactly. The thought of sitting there for another 2 hours with those staring, placid eyes gave me such a spell of anxiety that my brain felt like it was being stabbed with a shard of ice. I did have to teach them eventually, of course. I couldn't avoid it forever. Re-entering that room, though, all of them were sat in the exact same positions, in the exact same clothes, their breathing deliberate and almost pointed. When Erica Musterman, said good morning, the others followed suit, one by one, and I had to fight the urge to run. It struck me then that, despite how diverse their names were, none of them seemed to have any noticeable accent. Not that it did anything to reassure me. There was no one else who could take the tutorials. Believe me, I did everything I could to try and find a replacement. Still, once I got used to their stares, their silence, and the fact that their questions were both specific and oddly basic, one of the Petrovs once asked me how sharp are the knees meant to be. Well, it was just about tolerable. I'm a bit ashamed to admit it, but I came to terms with the fact that I didn't care if they passed any exams. And that actually made the whole affair more manageable. I just did my best to stop caring. And then came our first of two sessions in the dissection room. We were looking at the skeleton. I had been dreading this. Given exactly how creepy and unsettling the students were just sat in a classroom, the idea of what they could do when given access to human remains made me feel quite nauseous. But I couldn't bring myself to leave them there alone, so I went. It was even worse than I'd feared, seeing them stood there over the bits of cadaver. Their faces, normally so neutral, were alive with... What was it I saw? Excitement? Curiosity? Hunger? Whatever it was, it didn't reach their eyes. Still staring and blank. I went through the procedures with them and tried my best to keep the trembling out of my voice. When Falan reached for a scalpel and started cutting into our samples, I felt faint. I was trying to keep an eye on everyone, but the dissection tables were arranged in a semicircle around the lab, and each time I turned to face one of the students, I began to hear this cracking sound from whichever tables I wasn't looking at. like a snapping bone or a rib cage being forced open. I turn back and see nothing untoward. Just John or Erica or Juan or whoever it was looking at me quizzically over distinctly unbroken bones. But it kept happening. Whenever I wasn't looking, I heard the crunch and the crack of bone. I couldn't ask about it. I knew the dead-eyed, mute stare they'd give me if I did, and I just couldn't face that. Finally, I managed to position myself so that I could see what was happening behind me in the reflective edge of the metal table. It wasn't much, but I could see a slightly warped image. It was Pavel in this case. I saw him pick up a bone, a radius, I believe, from the forearm. He held it up next to his own arm, and then there came that snapping, crunching noise. I swear I saw his arm distend itself, the skin shifting as something inside changed and rearranged until it matched the length of bone he was holding up to it. I tried not to react, not to make a noise at this mad impossibility that I saw. I couldn't help it, though. My legs gave out. I collapsed on the floor with a whimpering cry. None of them looked at me. None of them offered to help me up. None of them gave any reaction at all. I shut my eyes tight as that cracking sound began to come from every direction, as all seven of them began to change themselves. It went on for almost half an hour until our allotted time in the lab ended. And then they left, walking past me, still sat helpless on the floor. As they did, each of them thanked me for the lesson as though nothing had happened. And I swear that every single one of them was taller than when they started. I started taking more sick leave after that. I avoided their tutorials as often as possible, and when I did go, we largely just sat there in silence until one of them asked me a question about human anatomy, which I would reluctantly answer. I know I should have just abandoned them entirely. If they were going to complain to anyone, they would have done it already, but even then I was worried my colleagues might notice, and I really didn't want to get a reputation as some absentee tutor. It didn't help that a colleague of mine, Dr. Laura Gill, once expressed surprise on learning that I'd been absent the day before, as apparently she'd passed by my teaching room and my anatomy class had just been sat there, waiting quietly. The thought of them politely filing to every tutorial just sat there